A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The Spirit, too, helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be expressed in speech. He who searches hearts knows what the Spirit means, for the Spirit intercedes for the saints of God, its saints, as God himself will. We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who have been called according to his decree. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to share the image of his Son, that the Son might be the firstborn of many brothers. Those he predestined, he likewise called. Those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he in turn glorified. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went through cities and towns teaching, all the while making his way toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are they few in number who are to be saved?" He replied, "Try to come in through the narrow door. Many, I tell you, will try to enter and be unable. When once the master of the house has risen to lock the door, and you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Sir, open for us,' he will say in reply, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets.' But he will answer, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers.' There will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets safe in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves rejected. People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. I hear a lot of wailing and grinding of teeth lately. Some of it is due to the political campaign for next year's election for the presidency of the United States. A lot more is worldwide. The Tea Party here in the United States has been bewailing the growing power of federal government for some years now. Burgeoning debt and taxation are often a focal point for this concern. I see parallels, however, in growing unrest with the results of the European Common Market and in recent uprisings in the Arab world. Even China is witnessing expressions of discontent with leaders in a time of economic downturn. The causes for concern are very different, but distrust of governmental institutions is a common thread in all these discontents. On the other hand, there are the anti-Wall Street demonstrations that are continuing and growing throughout the world in spite of apparent lack of organization and cohesion. The object of unrest here is the growing gap between the rich and the poor. Some seem to grow even wealthier, while jobs grow fewer and fewer for those with less to depend upon. The center of attention in this case is private individuals and institutions seen as responsible for the economic debacle. Many inside and outside of the United States believe that the real cause for financial division is a set of economic theories originating here in Chicago that are seen as promoting social division and unrest for the sake of personal profit. The most recent example of whaling and teeth grinding that I have seen came to me from a friend via email. It purports to have started with Bill Cosby and is titled, "I'm 76 and I'm tired." After claiming to have worked hard all his life for modest income and now diminishing savings, the author presents a laundry list of issues that make him tired. The list includes a government that takes his money and gives it to those who haven't earned it, tolerance from Muslim world that abides abuse of women and persecution of Christians and Jews, concern for global warming that forces him to lower his living standard for an unproven theory, entertainers, athletes, and politicians who seek public forgiveness for personal misconduct, and young people who wear face studs and tattoos. Above all, he bewails people who do not take personal responsibility for their behavior. Ironically, the common element I find in these diverse grievances is that each finds a fault in someone else. Whether it's government, financiers, or Muslims and young people, it's somebody else's fault, not mine. Continually trying to tell his listeners in Luke's gospel is that their problems are of their own making. Those who think they are righteous are the worst offenders. What might it look like to take his word seriously in our own circumstances? When I reflect on my own generation, I do so with some shame. We inherited a world that our parents' generation suffered to rescue from worldwide depression and servitude to totalitarian powers. The succeeding decades saw a rise in the pursuit of self-interest. As a result of individuals and governments pursuing immediate goals with little concern for long-term results, we personally and socially have amassed monumental debts that future generations will have to pay, and these debts are largely responsible for the continuing economic crisis we now face. Where this situation is due to the greed of the rich, abetted by political forces, criminal offenses should be prosecuted and laws to prevent future abuses should be enacted. But how many who are not so wealthy have contributed to the real estate collapse that set off the present recession by taking loans that they could not pay if times got worse? How many have allowed credit card debts to accumulate to sums that can never be paid with present income? Today's first reading offers no solution to global and personal economic problems, but it does tell us where to begin in rebuilding a sense of personal responsibility. It is the lack of this, it seems to me, that is at the root of much that is wrong in today's world. Why do we fail to admit our part in creating the disasters about us? Is it not fear that no one will help us if we do? Paul tells the Romans that we have a spirit to help us in our weakness. He says that God makes all things work for the good of those who believe. That doesn't mean we can escape the consequences of our own foolishness easily. It does mean that we should recognize what we can do and do it. What we can do, rich and poor, is stop living for ourselves alone and live, work, and care for others as well as for ourselves. What keeps me thinking of myself first is the fear that if I don't, no one else will. Jesus came to show us in his teaching, death, and resurrection that God does think of us first and asks us to love others as we love ourselves.